Hello and welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while. If you don't remember, I'm your host Adam, and joining me as always is my co-host
Craig.
If you can't remember the name of this podcast, it's the Guilty Pleasure Cinema. Woo!
Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure Cinema.
We're back.
So how you been, buddy?
Yeah, been alright. Been a stretch.
Yeah?
Been a stretch.
A 9 month stretch, perhaps?
Yeah, so there's been a few things that have been going on. So I quit my job so that I could go full time at uni. And in that time frame, I managed to knock up my missus.
Yep.
And we have had a lovely daughter called Amy. She was born on the 18th of May. It was all a bit complicated, but you know, she's all healthy, she's fine, she's got all 10 fingers, 10 toes.
For now.
Yeah. And yeah, couldn't be happier, mate. Honestly, you know, I'll be really honest, I was always slightly hesitant about, you know, sort of having kids and things like that. I was like, I don't know if but mate, honestly, I don't think there's any better feeling in the world. So I'll happily admit that when she was born, I was blubbering like an absolute baby myself.
Man.
There was two babies in the room when she was born.
Yeah, I suppose because we've not really had a chance to talk about it. And
no, because we've both been so busy. So I've also just finished uni as well. I handed in my last assignment yesterday.
Woo.
So I'm fucking free as a bird, mate.
Excellent, good. What do you reckon you got?
A degree. yeah,
I got my freedom back.
Well, yeah, it's a hard one to judge. Mate, I'll be honest. If I went back and did it all again, I probably would do it full-time. Because yeah. Doing it part-time with quite a hectic work schedule, it was a lot to ask. And then it's such a stretch of doing 6 years of anything, committing to something.
I was
going to
ask six. I thought it was four, but six.
Nah, six, yeah. Yeah, so it's like 3 years split half. Yeah. But yeah, what about yourself, mate? You've been busy as well.
Hence why I have. I haven't had a baby.
You've not had a baby?
No, and nor has my partner. However, I have, and we're going to have to tread on some fine water here, but I have been on another film production.
Yes, you have. You've been very busy with work.
Not one of my own. And because of that, I had to sign a load of NDAs that I can't yet talk about what the production was, but let me just say, this film was widely considered as, at one point, this story was widely considered one of the best trilogies of all time.
Yes.
And it was
fantasy trilogies
by a few prequels, and now they're just doing a load of TV stuff with it. So yeah. I was on one of the TV things and it was hellish.
Yeah, so we will touch it because that's going to be probably the main focus of this show actually.
Oh, yeah.
You dropped some juicy goss.
Oh, yeah. 3 months of absolute chaos coming
up. Fuck, we've got to do an episode about this. But you were literally like in, you know, in the jungle, essentially. But, you know, you were on set, what, how many hours a day?
So I was getting to set at about 6, sometimes earlier each morning, and not wrapping till sometimes 8 each evening, hour drive there and back. I became a zombie.
Yeah.
Not for the show. I got thrown into fight scenes where I have zero fight training, and basically learnt on the job. That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, at some points I had to run underneath waterfalls of fire.
Mate. So I think what we should do, right, is because I want to get into all the nitty gritty and all the details of that. So I think we just... We plug away at all the stupid shit, like what listeners have got to look forward to, or a little bit of release schedule, some movies and shit that we've seen or want to talk about, and then we'll jump straight into the juice.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's start with what listeners have got to look forward to. Number one is an edited and not yet released episode of Commando, which I guarantee you will be topical at the time of release, considering we did it back in February.
Yeah, I was wondering about this because I was thinking, like, oh, I wonder if we've said anything that's like aged like milk. And I do remember you saying something about, you know, Philip Schofield being, you know, like a mentor to you or
something like that. Yes, and put all of my money on Arsenal winning the league.
Saying, and again, I really like Philip Schofield, stuff like that. That's all I remember from the Commando episode. I just remember, it's like, man, he's really banging on about how much of a good guy he is. All
the conversations I have with people where they're like, oh, he's such a silver fox. Oh, he's such a silver fox. I'm like, he's not a fucking silver fox now, is he? Now he's more of a silver honey badger. And so, yeah, then we've also got an unedited, and also not released episode on Cobra to do.
Mate, do you know, I completely forgot that we did that movie.
Twice.
It was a banger.
Hey,
it was...
Twice. We did it twice. Because someone, no names, lost all of their files.
Yes, that was me. I think that was the bit that kind of like put a bit of a break in. I mean, we were already having a bit of a piss take with release schedule and stuff like that. Oh yeah.
We've played it fast and loose, and all power to us, because you're a parent. I'm a co-parent. Yeah,
I can use that excuse now. I'm like, I'm a dad.
You know, I mean, got you out going to a goddamn wedding, didn't it?
It did, actually. And quite rightly, I thought. I was just like, hey, look, do you know what? There's some things coming up I don't think I can commit. And lucky I didn't, because then the fucking baby came like a month early through all spanner in the works.
Yeah. And we should say Helen, happy, healthy, all is good with her.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Let's all focus on the mother and the baby.
Yep.
No, not about the dad.
No one gives a shit about you.
No one gives a shit about the dad. which I found out.
I give a shit about the dad. No. So, yeah, apart from that, I mean, just as a quick update that no one really cares about, 13 Cars is knee-deep in post-production. It's with us.
Oh, yeah, sounds like it's been going. Because you wrapped up and then there were some reshoots?
We did reshoots up until February.
Right.
And now that it's June, it looks like it's been a year since we finished the film, or over a year since we finished the film.
Nice.
But in fact, we didn't finish it until February. So, yes, it's currently being very, very, very well edited by our editor. He's doing a cracking job.
Nice.
Some of the music being put forward by our composer is excellent. And yes, it's coming along nicely.
So can we expect a release date at all?
Yes, 2023.
2023, somewhere around then.
Somewhere between now and December 31st. You know what? It will definitely be finished by then. As to when it gets released, hey, that's up to the exec producer.
Fair enough. I'm sure we'll do an episode. I'm definitely coming to the premiere, aren't I?
Yeah, of course.
Sound. Yes.
Someone's got to fill those seats. and finally, I mean, what else has been happening? Well, I can't remember when we last fully spoke, but I haven't really watched many movies of late.
I've been watching a lot more of releases from the cinema, just as I was like, oh, I've got a bit of time. Saw Puss in Boots. That's fucking awesome.
I really want to see that.
It's like, this is, I actually saw like a handful of what I'd say, like, no, not trashy movies, but like where you're kind of going in like, you know what, I know what I'm going to expect with this. I'm not expecting to get my, you know, my socks and rocks. And Puss in Boots was really good.
Yeah.
Bit dark. Super Mario Brothers was really good. I was blown away with actually how good it was, considering. I just remember all the memes, you know, like with Chris Pratt voicing Mario, and you're just a bit like, yeah, it's a bit of an oddball choice, but yeah, I thought you nailed it. And then
I still can't believe that I only figured out this year that his full name is Mario.
Yeah,
they really just weren't trying, were they?
No, that's canon as well.
I know
because I know that's in the Bob Hoskins movie, and it's like Mario and Luigi Mario, but that's been confirmed that his name is Mario.
Honestly, who is that worse for? Is it worse for Luigi because he's always going to be compared to he's going to be a Mario brother, he's not a Luigi brother? Or is it worse for Mario?
But he is a Mario brother because that's his last name.
He's a Mario brother, but growing up, you know, you're like, oh, Luigi kind of sucks because Mario is the one they named it after. Not realizing it was Mario. He's always living in his brother's shadow. Or is it like Mario where it's like, oh man, my parents really weren't trying?
Yeah, I think that.
I think the latter. Would you rather be Luigi Mario than Mario?
Well, that's kind of what we did with our daughter. Well, Because we had a load of boys' names lined up because every fucking man and his dog was telling us some old wives' tales about how, like, because our baby, like, the bump was small. And this is before the 20-week scan. Mm. Even a midwife was convinced. She's like, yeah, definitely it's going to be a boy. 100% always right. Is that right? So we come up with, like, about 20 boys' names. And then when they're like, oh, it's a girl. I was like, oh, right, okay. So what are we going to name her? I was like, oh, I don't know. And I was, Amy?
Brilliant.
And we just never came up with a better name.
Excellent. Amy, what do you think? I think it's time for lunch. So
go with Amy, yeah?
Yeah, Amy sounds good. Amy's a good name. Amy Kent.
Yeah, Amy Joanna Kent.
Nice. Nice.
Which I also didn't realise was my initials, AJK. So it sounds
like narcissistic. Oh, yeah. You definitely didn't realise.
Uh-huh, I did not realise that.
Yeah, that's on record now. Excellent. I've barely watched any movies. I've been my partner has a 13-year-old daughter, and we've been bonding recently over watching the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, how far have you got?
We're doing Fast 6 tonight.
Ah, okay. So you managed to get past 4 and 5.
Jeez. Oh, tell you what. Yeah. I was so bored at the end of Fast 5.
Yeah, yeah, it's the jumping off, or, like, you know, sort of, it's the weird, like, cliff of the Fast and the Furious franchise where it, like, it drops but then resurges massively from 6 onwards.
It does it, because I walked out of Fast 9. I wasn't having a good day.
6, 7, and 8 are the better.
They're the peak. Okay, cool. Because I really like 8. Everyone hates 8. I thought 8 was excellent. But, so we watched The Fast and the Furious, and it was really interesting. Obviously, I've seen it since I was, 10. I've been watching that movie.
Yeah.
Watching it again with, like, adult eyes and going, oh, wow, this is fucking excellent.
Really?
Like, this is a straight-up, legit, good movie. It's a little bit dumb in places, but the way it's filmed, I was like, this is a solid picture.
Yeah, and then, but you can say that the same way about Michael Bay, you know what I mean?
I can't. That's
you
can thing.
Be like, yeah, it's filmed really, really well in terms of action, but
no,
in
because
terms
again,
of substance.
If you watch, and I'm glad you picked on Michael Bay, because I struggle with Michael Bay films because they edit too much.
I think that's more when it comes to things like the Transformer movies, when you're just like, right, it's just like fucking robots
and
sex
Six Underground.
On...
That was a tough watch. And,
Anyway,
I watched it. I thought it was great, and it was interesting watching because she sat in front, but to the side on the sofas, and just watching her react to all the stuff that was like, oh no, oh what's gonna happen? Oh no, and I was like, oh cool, like you've got the magic of cinema in you still. That's awesome.
This is what I kind of hope to look forward to with Amy, in the sense that when I can watch some movies with her, I can be a little bit like, right, so we're going to watch the original Star Wars trilogy, and, you know, and like, oh, you know, is she going to have a reaction to Darth Vader being, you know, Luke Skywalker's dad, or, you know, watching Sixth Sense, or something else that would, oh, like watching Terminator and then back-to-back Terminator 2.
The right way.
And I'd be like, yeah, don't worry about, you know, don't need to know anything about this.
Yeah. So last night watching Fast 5, it was interesting. The opening chase on the train, she was like, oh no. And then about halfway through, it changed from, oh my god, to, what? What? Well, that's silly. And I was like, yeah. Would you believe me if I told you eventually they go into space? She's like, what? I was like, they go into space.
I do think there is a sort of a magic of watching children in the cinema, because I think my dad always told me one of the nicer moments in my childhood when he took me to the cinema to watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end when the Velociraptors are trying to like get the kids, but just as they're getting up into the vents and then one of them snaps, I think I was literally like, you know, on the edge of my seat, like kind of, oh my god, like look at it. I kind of look for that. Probably never, you know, I think the way things are going now, it probably will never end up actually taking kids to cinema unless it's something like big or huge, like a release or something like that.
Yeah, something. But again, you can still have that majesty of cinema in your own home. I remember when my cousin 100%. Was maybe 8 or 9 and my dad, he was staying around, my dad put on Princess Bride. What's this? Yeah. He's like, shut up, just watch it. But what is it?
shut
up, just watch it.
Shut the fuck
and
up.
And just watching his 9-year-old face, like, oh my god, oh my god, rats of normal sizes, ah, ah. It was like, it was so cool to see it through his eyes, like, wow, this is just the best film you've ever seen, huh?
Speaking of best films you've ever seen, should we maybe throw in a few ideas of movies that we're going to be doing for this season?
Absolutely. I've got mine. Ready?
I'll go on then.
Kids, Requiem for a Dream, Irreversible, Audition, and a Serbian film. Let's do it.
Well, mate, okay, right. So,
where did Requiem... I lose you? Serbian film?
Well, yeah, I thought Requiem for a Dream was a bit punchy. And then, yeah, I think Serbian film, I think I'll probably get cancelled. And maybe keep our sort of like semi/comedy film podcast a little bit more upbeat.
Look, if we can do 8mm with a touch of class.
Oh, yeah, for 8mm, that's Nick Cage.
Oh, I know. I was being facetious. They are not my fans. You have a very good fan.
The other ones, I was like, yeah, I can. Maybe I can maneuver around some of those, but. Have you got a real list?
Yeah, but you go first.
Well, there were some, you know, whenever we do this, we always start off the season like, right, we're going to do these movies, we're going to try and stick to it.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the season, we go like, oh, fuck doing that movie. So I've had a little bit of a look back, and there were a few. There were some that I kind of like, yeah, there's probably a reason why we didn't do that one. But the ones that I really liked the idea of doing was Mallrats.
Cool, yep.
Which I think that was maybe in our second season we wanted to do that. And again, give us a bit of a chance to talk about Kevin Smith. We've got Bedazzled, the old whale actor, Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously, he's had a bit of a resurgence now. So
I genuinely watched that maybe 2 weeks ago.
Liz Hurley?
Yeah, it'll do. You know, I'm watching films with Taryn, and she's got a very specific type of movie. and so I was like, oh, this, you know, you'll enjoy this. 15 minutes, she's like, oh, yeah, I've seen this. No, we'll keep watching. I'm like, but the whole point, oh, God damn it, fine, we'll watch it. No, I like Bedazzled a lot.
Yeah, I think it's a great shout. Yeah. And we were going to do a sort of tack on to Arachnophobia, which was going to be Eight-Legged Freaks.
Mm-hmm.
We never got around to doing great that. Movie. This feels like a bit of like, this is going to be like a season of like movies we never got around to doing.
Yeah.
End of Days, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I mean, I'm happy to do it. I don't remember liking that film a huge amount.
It's got, what's his face in it? The Irish. The poor man's Al Pacino. Yeah. and then.
That wasn't scripted. Well done, us.
Yeah. And we got Robocop as well.
Yeah.
I thought we'll throw in an
OG Robocop, yeah.
Fucking awesome, you know, Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
Actually knocking
can
out the
park. Can you fly, Bobby?
Oh, give us, mate, so much Kurtwood Smith like impressions would be on that show.
Excellent.
That's when we lose all our listeners.
All four. Cool. So look, I don't have a full list.
Yeah. And as I said, like, this is always subject to change. Nothing's set in stone.
All right, but genuinely, these are films I quite like that are a bit
cool. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Gone in 60 Seconds. I love that film. It is.
Can we not do that film? Oh, probably not. Yeah.
I don't know. I think so.
I feel like because when we're doing the Nick Cage saga, I think we were like, that's too good a movie.
It is, but it also is it, just a it bit isn't. Crap.
It is, but it isn't.
Yeah. I'd quite like to do Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Cool. Down with that. The Wicked
Sweet.
Wild.
Sold. Gremlins 2.
Sounds
the new batch.
Yeah, definitely one of my favourite scenes in cinema of Hulk Hogan and giving out.
Yeah, have you seen the Key and Peele sketch about that? By the way,
I have not.
Oh man, when we finish here,
yeah,
you've got to. I'm so tempted to ease and be like, oh, let's pause the podcast and watch it.
We're in a good flow right now.
Sketch they've done, in my opinion.
All right, sick. I do quite like Key and Peele.
Scooby Doo.
Okay, the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar
and Matthew Lillard. Yeah,
that's the one. Matthew Lillard. That's the one that plays Shaggy. Yeah.
We could talk a bit about the new series of Velma. If you've heard anything about that,
I have heard quite a bit about that.
It's bad, piece of shit. Apparently.
Oh mate, it's horrendous. I watched. I think I got through the first episode, and I've actually been one of these things now where I kind of like. I try to push past criticism to see value in, you know, in art and media. And with that, I will try and give things a chance, you know what I mean? But, mate, that it wasn't... The worst thing is, we've always said this before, the worst thing you can do in any kind of, like entertainment is be boring.
Yes.
You know, you're meant to entertain. So it's going to be funny, action, sad, drama, anything that invokes some sort of emotional reaction.
Yeah.
I was watching, I was just like, man, this is hard to watch. Yeah. This is just...
I watched the trailer and I was like, well, that's good enough for me. It looks like they hate each other.
Yeah, it's subversion, isn't it? It's like, well, we're going to take existing tropes and, you know, the idea of a gang of kids that are, you know, like, was it the jock, the pretty girl, the nerd, and the stoner? And they're just like, right, well, we'll just take all of that and fuck it out the window and do our own thing. And you kind of just feel a lot of that is just self-inserting from the writers.
Yeah, it's it looks like a big old pile of crap. But you know what isn't a big old pile of crap, which is my fifth film?
Oh, yeah?
Is Pitch Black.
Pitch Black, yes. I was looking at that. I was thinking, get a bit more Vin Diesel going on.
Well, that's it. Because I've obviously been watching the first films, I was like, Pitch Black, do I do a Riddick movie or do we do a Triple X movie?
Yeah, I think the Riddick movie... is good, but I feel Pitch Black.
No, as in, like, do we choose one from the Riddick franchise or do I choose one from the Triple X franchise?
Yeah.
As a side note, nothing to do with anything, have you seen the kind of short film that takes place between Triple X and Triple X 2 that shows the quote unquote death of Xander Cage?
I can't say I have. No. Also, because isn't Triple X 2. The one is it got Ice Cube in it?
It is Triple X 2 the next level, and it is in fact Ice Cube.
So I tell you this, I really used to like Triple X the movie. I thought it was really cool. Yeah. I was really into like sort of like extreme sports at the time.
Oh yeah.
And my email for Hotmail, which is now defunct, so don't think about trying to spam it with anything. It used to be Kent, obviously my last name, _ Triple X.
Right, XXX or the word
XXX. Oh, wow. XXX.
So you created a porn website.
So then whenever I tried to order stuff or like, I had to like tell people what my email was. So I was like, it's Kent_XXX. And then I thought it sounded cool. Like, you'd be like, Kent_XXX. But then obviously when you see it written down, you're like, porn.
Yeah, brilliant.
Porn from Kent.
Good choices got made. So I think Pitch Black, because I genuinely think that's an excellent horror movie / sci-fi movie / whatever you call it. And it's sat on my DVD shelf looking at me right now.
Nice. Yeah, well, I'll definitely throw that in there.
Excellent.
So with this then, we are now hitting the juicy goss. That is obviously, you know, just a full disclosure, NDAs were signed.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not allowed to talk about what the show is.
No.
But how far can you talk about things in terms of like what the show is about?
I can't talk about what the show is about.
We can say it's a TV show.
I can say it is season 2 of a TV show, and that's probably enough. And we can say that it's
on a streaming service. With my original
clue as to what it was, that's probably enough for people to be like, oh, it was that thing. Cool.
Yeah. Very expensive to make as well, if I remember. Very expensive.
Wink. So yes, that is the show I've been on. I was on it for 2.5 to 3 months, and I tell you right now, I am every week meeting up with one of the other extras, and we're just writing a book about the whole thing.
Yeah, you sounded like you fucking hated every minute of it.
It's
like...
weird because there were so many bits I did hate, and I'll give you the long list. I hated the ADs and how they treated us, because they treated it like the Stanford prison test. At a certain point, it was like, they felt they knew they had the power, and we were just scum on the bottom of their shoe, and they treated us that way. I hated that I had to run under a waterfall of fire after zero health and safety without any protective gel on me, because that's what the shot required.
So with that, like, because obviously it sounds like this probably has like rippling effects. Mm. So with the ADs, the like assistant directors, would you say that they were just so inexperienced, like, you know, they're brand new after
production had been filming for close to a year, everyone had given up. We came in all, you know, rosy cheek, like, we get to do things, 3 months of work. And, I'd rather not do that thing. Like, just do it. But, I'd really love to do that thing. Don't know, just do the thing I said. I don't care if what you've said is logical or makes you feel safe or is best for health and safety or will actually improve the shot. Because, you know what, you're thinking about it more than I am because I've got 50 things on my plate. Just do what I say.
And so this led to things like you running under a fiery waterfall.
Running under a waterfall of fire. Literally, a prosthetic exploded and I had 6 seconds to clear the area before I got melted alive.
So with stuff like that, again, this is probably, I actually think, maybe beneficial for the listener, the fact that I'm quite naive about certain things on set. Like, you know, if you talk to me about writers and things like that, I might have a little bit more of a gist because obviously, you know, being very good friends with you. But when it comes to the more production side and in terms of, you know, how rigorous you might need to be with things like health and safety, considering the things that have happened on set, is obviously the most recent, like, most dramatic thing was what happened with Alec Baldwin on set, where he ended up shooting a
That got brought up a lot. So let me kind of set the mood.
Right.
This was so quite literally, our health and safety guy. These were his words. All right, ready?
Okay.
I'm gonna do.
I'm ready.
I'm gonna play the AD who introduces him, and then I'm gonna play the health and safety guy. All right. So everybody, gather around for a second. Our health and safety, our chief health and safety officer wants to say a few words. A few words. Pause for laughter. He walks away.
Wow.
Yeah. We then spent weeks combat training, fire, animals running through set, people nearly getting trampled. Like, me and one of the dude very nearly got trampled. We were told to run in front of stampeding horses.
Cool.
One guy apparently traveled back to World War One because he got dysentery.
Nice.
Because of the falling in the water that contained the fecal matter of the poop. Some people had prosthetics on that restricted their breathing, and in the May heat, some people were close to passing out but were told, no, you can't take your prosthetics off. Mm-hmm. I was very fortunate in that respect because on the very first night I put on my prosthetics, I was like, I can't breathe, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And I understand if you're going to release me, but I'm not going to continue because I just can't breathe. And they found a workaround. So let's say there were 50 extras, 49 of them had prosthetics, and then there was just me, this one idiot, who for a spell, the other SAs, or extras, supporting artists, hated because I wasn't, you know, suffering.
Well, like, did they just look at you and be like, yeah, you look like what we need.
But... That's it.
It'll pass as a...
as one of those things.
Feel really weird that we can't say.
No, I know, is. I know. But but then the ADs started hating me because I was just sat there, prosthetics free, and one of them came up to me and was like, why aren't you in your prosthetics? And I was like, oh, I don't wear them. And that person just ignored me for the rest of the shoot. Now, it doesn't help that whilst we were doing stunt, like fight choreography, that AD walked in the middle of the set without announcing themselves and did get clobbered by one of my weapons as I was practicing the move.
Oh, you're amateur. What are you doing walking through my shots? How about I just go down and rip your lights
you're
down?
You're fucking done. You hear me? You're fucking done. But yeah, no, they didn't like me, that person. But then there were also... some really great moments. And there was, right, so there was one night, it was 2 weeks of day shoots, 2 weeks of night shoots, and then the rest of it was day shoots. But on night seven,
I'm surprised that they do night shoots anymore, considering that from what I understand, a lot of it is just shoot it in the day and then essentially not, you know, like sort of alter it in post.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when they did that a couple times because they just ran out of time on the night, and so the sun came up and they're like, we'll just figure and sit in post. But then there was one time the whole shoot was happened in day in with no rain, and then the heavens opened up and we stood for maybe an hour getting drenched, going, they're not going to get the shot. And then eventually they were like, fuck it, roll, in the pouring rain, and we were just there going, but this isn't going to make it into the, why are you doing this? But again, it's that pig-headed, you've got to be the head of a production, a director and a producer, you have to be something of a sociopath.
And I think it is a bit of herding cats as well, isn't it? It's such a big production as well.
And this is the other thing I'll say, because I don't want to appear biased. Extras are the worst people in the world.
Yeah, I've heard my fair share from yourself and my own personal experience of being on set.
I love the team that I worked with for all those months.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'll finish off a quick story. We on one of the night shoots, I just kind of stood up and left, or stood at the back of the marquee we were in and just watched the group, and I could see the morale was at an all-time low, and just could see everyone kind of going, I'm just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
One guy came over to me, he's like, are you okay? And I just explained, like, nah, I'm just watching everyone and just trying to make sure who needs to talk. And then slowly, one by one, we all started talking, and it was that moment of that camaraderie sparked, where we're like, cool, we're in this together, we're not suffering alone, and more importantly now, we're not suffering in silence. And that is at the very end, on the final day of the shoot, there were 10 of us selected for the final 3 days. All went out for a meal together, and we sat around and discussed it all and said, what's your highlight, what's your low light? And the person that came up to me in that moment, their low light was that evening. And I said, that was my highlight, because that was the moment where I realized, like, no matter what happens, no matter how much we're getting pitted against one another, no matter what we have to go through out there, in this room, we're going to pick each other up and we're going to carry on. And it was awesome.
So his low lights of, you know, people getting melted and people getting dysentery was meeting you.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely your low light. however, having said that, and that is genuinely, these are people I will call friends for life because we've been through an experience.
Yes, band of brothers.
Extras, as a whole, are the worst people in the world. And so
a lot of entitled people who are there because they obviously think they're better than extra work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, nothing bad to say about 90% of the people, but some of them I was just like, stop putting a line in the sand and then crossing it. So one of the big examples was we weren't getting paid stunt pay. We were doing stunt work because we were fighting, and that's stunt pay, which is a base pay of £250.
Is that per stunt or per day?
That's per night. If you're doing one stunt or 50 stunts, special action. Stunt, it's way more. But if you're a special action person, and that definitely includes combat fighting and or running up and down things.
So isn't that the thing? When you're a stunt person, you have to have a multitude of disciplines, don't you?
Yeah, so if you want to get on the stunt register, you have to be proficient in 6 different skills, including...
Oh, 6. I always thought it was 3 or 4.
No, horse riding and scuba diving and things like that, and you need to have a recognised martial art under your belt.
That's it. I remember that,
But anyway, to do SPACT work, £250 base rate. To do extras work... £101 base rate.
Right, okay.
And everyone was there going, no, we should be getting paid if we're doing SPACT work. If we're getting SPACT work, we should be getting paid. And I'm there going, well, I don't really give a shit. I'm happy for 3 months' work. Like, I'm going to walk away from this with nearly 10 grand. So if you want to quibble, you go ahead and quibble. And they quibbled, and they quibbled, and they quibbled. And then they were, fine, well, we're not fighting. The next time they ask us to do SPACT work, we're not doing it. Oh, you need us to do SPACT work? Yeah, I'll go. And I'm like, stop it. Stop stop drawing a line in the sand and then crossing it. Stop running your
mouth. Yeah, okay, I get you now, yeah.
And then just shooting yourself in the foot. Because every time you do that, you let them know that whatever they want to do, ADs, producers, whoever, you're going to do it. And it pissed me off so much. I kept saying, there's one guy...
Yeah, that's quite wet, isn't it?
It is, and it's one guy called Mark. So my friend Dave, who's the guy that's...
Oh, name and shame. What's his name?
His name is Mark. I won't say anything else.
Yeah, fuck you, Mark.
But he is a friend, and I consider him a friend and all that stuff. But he was that close a friend that I sat with him and went, you are being stupid. And here is, and it's everything I just said, and... You need to decide right now, are you going to keep complaining or are you just going to get on with it? And if you're going to get on with it, shut up. If you're going to keep complaining, don't go out there. But you can't do both.
And that is it, isn't it? In principle, you should, if you're ever going to draw a line in the sand, you should always be prepared to walk
away. Absolutely. So I said, cool, we're not getting paid to fight. I'm not going to fight. So in my next fight that I had to do, the person I was fighting against... like, oh, what training, what experience do you have? How do you want to do this? I was like, look, I'm not getting paid to fight. So if you can just immediately kill me and then go on join another fight, I'm fine with
that. Hit me in the balls.
Just stab me under the armpit and I'm going to drop. Like, but why? I was like, because I don't have fight training, so I could hurt you. But also, I'm not getting paid to fight. And I think I got killed close to 30 times on that production, because literally every single one, I was like, I don't fight. And your choice now is to either stand here or kill me and fight someone else. So there's that. But there was one night. there's a big, big pyrotechnic explosion that happens.
Is this the waterfall scene?
No, this is a few nights different... after that. And everyone's been talking for ages and going, no, we should be getting paid to fight. We should be getting paid to fight. And they do this big pyrotechnic explosion, which they end up filming twice because it's a big setup. It takes hours to set up and it costs a lot of money. So they're only filming it twice. And all of the ADs come over to us as extras who are, I will hold firm on this, are some of the worst people in the world. And they say, guys, you're not fighting on this one. What we need you to do is shadow movements. So shadow movements are like, you just kind of wave your arm and your weapon around, and it, to the naked eye, if you're in soft focus, it kind of looks like, well, maybe they're fighting, but they're so soft focus in the frame, it doesn't really matter. And holy crap,
yeah, the Team America help me sign.
Yeah, it's kind of that sort of thing. And they were very specific. And they went, we're not telling you to fight. Shadow movements. Because they didn't want to keep receiving complaints. People going, I fought, you owe me more money. I fought, you owe me more money. So just shadow movements, and they walk away. And then one fucking guy, he turns to me and he's like, well, this is ridiculous. We're all trained fighters. We should be fighting. And I lost it. I was like, Ian. His name was Ian. Ian.
Yeah, fuck you, Ian.
Exactly what everyone has been saying is, we're not getting paid to fight. We're not going to fight. And now they're telling us not to fight. You're saying you should be fighting? This is why people hate extras. Like, you just pick a side. Stop being so... I watched Shawshank recently. Stop being so obtuse.
The fact that this production is happening in the UK, I imagine this would be so much different if this was happening in America. And probably why, obviously, the production doesn't happen there. But you can imagine, you know, how strict they are in terms of union work. And, you know, if they do something, they add it to the list of, like, right, okay, well, you get paid for this.
But
the
thing is, that's...
You get paid for words and sentences. And, you know, if I said a word, right...
We do have that over here. We have a union.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, okay. We absolutely have it. And I can't stress enough, all the extras were 100% correct. For all the work that we did, combat-wise, we should have got paid. However, if they'd stuck to their guns and unionising on, no, we're not going to do it until we got paid... then that would have happened. But as it stands, they went, no, we should be getting paid, but I'm going to do it anyway because, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't have a spine. And, yeah, so that was...
What's the name of your union again?
Bektu.
That's the one.
Yeah. So there's that, and then, like, there's so many other things. I mean, I mentioned the dysentery, the guard who threw up a Nazi salute.
Cool.
Security guard.
tell me more about this.
Yeah, so everyone was watching the... Bayern Munich Man City game.
Oh yeah.
And a couple of people were speaking German, because you know what, they spoke German, and they throw
German. Is this on set watching it, or is this
we're in the holding tent?
And in the tent, there were Germans in there.
There were people that could speak fluent German.
I speak fluent German.
But I speak enough German that I could have got involved. However, I didn't. What did happen was a security guard threw up his hand in a Nazi salute and went, "See Kyle," which isn't cool.
It is not. And that is not cool.
No one said anything about it. No one said a word. And then the next day, I kind of went to the top AD in charge, and I said, "Just to let you know, just a quick
just
FYI,
grass this guy up.
This
real quick.
Fucking happened," and he's like, oh, and his genuine response was, "Oh, thank God! I thought you were going to complain to me about SPACT pay." I was like, "I don't give a shit about SPACT pay. I kind of care about the fascist movement that just happened yesterday." The Nazi salute guy. I've got it all on my whiteboard behind me. There's so many things. I can't wait to write it all down. I'm so glad that I had the wherewithal in like week two to be like, I'm gonna forget all of this unless I really just put it down. And I've got close to 200 incidents, and of which I'd say probably 25 are really good, happy, awesome moments, which I'm so happy to have experienced. And then 75% are awful. Just awful things I'd never wish upon anyone.
Well, how I might go about this is obviously, type it all up.
Yep.
But wait until the release cycle starts coming around, and the media hype starts happening, and so then season two of this really really big show is coming out, and then you can be like, "Hello, Michael Sheen, disgraced journalist
Mike Sheen."
I've got some fucking huge dirt. I want to fucking sell my soul to Murdoch and get paid.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And conversely, I spent 2 days last week on the third film of a video game adaptation.
Third film?
With a character that may or may not move incredibly quickly.
Like really fast.
Yes.
Like he's got to go fast.
Yes.
Interesting.
And so... I can't mention his name, but the actor that was on set, like, doing his thing, was in The Princess Bride. And I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Was he also a specialist power in a super group with one eye?
He may also be able to do a very good British accent.
Maybe. Cryptic.
And he was great.
Nice dude.
Really nice. Oh my God, one of the nicest actors I've ever watched. And just, he was putting in his all and coming over and talking to the extras and having a joke and a laugh. And I was like, what a contrast between what was and what is. Right up until some fucking asshole stole my chair, which doesn't sound like a lot, but hold on, because my coat was on it and my suit jacket was on it. And they decided, like, oh, that feels like something I'm definitely going to sit on. And I was like, I understand the stealing of the chair.
Yes.
But get the fuck off my clothes. Like, at least move. Now I've got your ass all over my suit jacket.
Yeah, no one needs that.
And I was livid. And luckily I was on that with Taryn. But, yeah, I was ready to lose my shit.
So circling back then on that note to the TV show that you'd spent the last couple of months getting dysentery from, did you ever meet any of the notable cast members?
I did, actually.
Okay.
I met... Yeah, I mean, I can't... Yeah, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to bleep it out. I met... who is the main...
Right, yeah.
And I met...
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. And what is... you've met a guy and a girl.
Call him him and her.
Yeah, him and her. What was she like?
Lovely. Really nice.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, suits down to earth. At one point, we all sang happy birthday to one of the extras, and she was in the next tent and kind of joined in, and it was like, oh, that was cool. Like, so-and-so sang happy birthday to you. Lawrence.
Oh, that's interesting, because you always do hear things, you know what I mean, like, and some people were again, this is all just, you know, second
hand. Yeah, yeah.
But some people have said she's a bit of a bitch.
No, from my very, very, very limited experience, she's lovely.
Mate, everyone tells me that you're a massive dickhead, but I'm like, nah, Craig's all right. You've got to get to know him.
I feel like, of all the things that people would ever say about me, being a dickhead isn't one. Being boring, sure.
Oh, you're never boring.
So yeah, that was my April and May and some of March.
Nice. So that's really cool. Yeah, it's. I think one of those things though. I think this is always kind of highlighted in a lot of industries that where, you know, unless you're like in that 1%, like, you know, you're the lead actor in the film, or you're, you know, you're the star, you know, working in films and on film sets. So one of the things that really, we've had this conversation before, like, one of the things that put me off straight away of being on set was the hours.
Yeah.
And being spoken to like a massive cunt. And I was like, no way am I doing this. I don't want to climb this greasy pole.
Yeah, that's it. And that's it. You get talked to like shit. You get treated like shit. I want to say just one thing, actually.
Mm.
I badmouthed a few people and I've said a lot of good things about the essays. Of the ADs, of which they were, if ever they listen to this, because, you know, they might. Yeah. There were some.
I'll find them and tweet them.
There were some. We said very, very
shit
lovely
about you on this podcast. Give it a listen.
There were some that were very, very lovely. And in particular, I'm always going to give him a shout out because he was great. He's a guy called Omar. Awesome.
Shout out to Omar.
Yeah, Omar, absolute best AD we had. A guy called Simon who, he ran hot and cold with us because, you know what? If you've been on something for so long, you're going to run hot and cold with people. But he was a great, just a great dude to work with. And a guy called Callum. I won't give his full name, I was about to.
Shout out to Callum.
Who, again, ran hot and cold with us, but ultimately crushed it. And you know what? Everyone has their good days, everyone has their bad days. Omar had zero bad days.
Oh, good work, Omar.
He's fucking awesome, and I can't. It's going to be an absolute delight when I walk into another set and I'm like, this motherfucker is here. He's great.
Fair. So, will you be back for season 3 of said show?
After everything I've said, do you think there's going to be a season 3?
Well, that'd be really interesting. You know, because obviously if you do get all your shit together and write an expose or something like that, you know, that could launch both our careers. ride those coattails, baby.
What I found funny on the last day was the prosthetics team. And the prosthetics team were awesome, and the costume team was so good. The prosthetics
wardrobe like, always tends to be, don't
it? Yeah, just salt of the earth, lovely people. By the way, you're all penciled in to come back for season 3, and collectively as a group we all went no. Just absolutely fuck you, no way. And of course every extra is drawn a line in the sand, so they're going to cross it. Even me, I'll go back for season 3. I know I will, you know. Yeah, if there's another 10 grand, I'll take it, but I'll make it work for me. But yes, there's been mention of season 3 question mark.
Season 3, $.
That has been the debrief, and that means that next week we will be back with Adam.
Commando, there we go.
Well, we'll be back with Commando. Yeah, that's right. We'll be back next week with Commando, then Cobra. And
you'll
then
get your shit together.
We will record. Cobra,
and then some other... should we throw out there? What movie should we do?
Let's do Pitch Black.
Pitch Black? Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Or how about we 50-50, Pitch Black and then RoboCop?
Sounds good.
All right, sweet.
Until then, he's been Adam, I've been Craig. This has been the Guilty Pleasure Cinema Podcast debrief episode. We are back in POG form, ladies and gentlemen. And if you like what you heard, please give us a like, give us a share, give us a subscribe. Hey, find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all other major social network sites. At Adam and Craig's GPC. We are on iTunes and Spotify. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasures Cinema and Patreon ..
Yeah, I just realised that I never did any of that shit in the intro. So
nope, that's fine. Job. Hey, don't worry. Picking up the pieces.
Yeah, slowly getting back on track.
Hey, Adam, it's been a pleasure.
Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Adam and Craig's Guilty Pleasure. Sing.